With Commissioner Lindstrom's permission, we will reconvene the meeting. The meeting actually started at 2 o'clock. We moved into executive session to consider two items on the table, one of which was the finalization of the response from the State of Washington Attorney General's Office in the name of the SID investigation. And that was discussed with counsel. And the board would like to hear a motion for that being conveyed to counsel and ultimately submitted to the AG's office.
So moved.
Okay,
very good. You can second it.
I'll second that we approve the letter from Jim with a couple of grammatical changes that he will be doing, and they'll be sent to the AG's office by Jim Fredman and released to the public today or tomorrow.
So have you assimilated Mark's motion, or?
Sure.
Okay, very good. Then you can be the second.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Discussion? Nope. Dr. Appleton, any discussion, sir?
No.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. And this is going to be, if you notice, that Nathan's computer is open. He's actually processing this past motion by the board in real time. So we will try to get this out to the public, the press, and as importantly to State of Washington Auditor's Office, who has a need for this. In this time frame, we are currently being audited. So yeah, that's good. The second item was performance review of our Superintendent Pam Hutchins. I proffer a motion that, given her sterling performance, not only in the year 2019, but for the last 14 years prior to that, that we offer her a 6% salary raise for the year 2020 on an annual basis, inclusive of the COLA. Can I hear a second? Very good. Discussion?
Yay, Pam.
Thank you. It's an honor to work with you all.
And this has also been accommodated in the budget that we're going to sign off on tonight, hopefully.
Yes, I
for
made that change.
It was earmarked at the level of 6% for Rebecca Smith's suggestion, so that would be good. And any other comments, discussion? Call for vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously, and congratulations, Pam, to work there. Okay, next order on the agenda is today's agenda approval. Can I hear a motion to approve as written?
So moved.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. And consent agenda. Can the board hear a motion to approve the consent agenda as written on today's agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Third. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Consent agenda passes intact.
Who was the first on that, Mr. Chair? Is that Dr. Schwinge? Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Nathan. And next on the agenda is San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Operations Report. Superintendent Pam Hutchins, Pam.
Thank you. For the month of October, we had our October tax, property tax receipts come in, so all of our revenue was from the property taxes. There was $406,791.75 of property taxes and leasehold tax. Disbursements, we had total $25,402.54, of which there were $1,664 were third quarter commissioner's fees, which had $132.21 were payroll taxes, and then $23,606.33 were other normal warrants that we do during the month. and all of that totaled for October. For public records, last month we did not have finalization for September numbers and costs that came in, so I wanted to update on that. There were three total public records requests that came in September, and the cost of those were $302.50. So far in October, we haven't had any, and we have no cost associated with those. So that brings for the total for 2019 to 17 public records requests, and we have spent $11,013.50 on those public records requests for the year. You received your financials. There were the Eden revenue and expenditures by fund report, the revenue detail report, the Eden monthly financial statement by fund, which we call the cash balance because you can look on there and tell what the beginning and the ending cash balances are for the month, and the Eden expenditure status report that shows all of the expenditures for the month. And there's also an outstanding warrants listing for the end of October that was in the packet. If you look at the fund report, the revenues and the expenditures are about the same. We are in the black for the month of through the month of October, and everything is going according to plan, and we should finish the year within our budgeted amounts on both revenues and expenditures. And we will also do the commissioners' fees. I normally process them the quarter after that they were incurred. But in order for you to get all of your expenditures and what you are paid in 1 year, I will be processing December payroll, and that will be your third quarter payrolls. Fees, and that way the W-2 will be all for your whole year for 2019. So it says, so you'll get all of your fees in 1 year. With that. Do you have any questions on the financials?
No, ma'am.
I asked my questions earlier, and you answered them to my satisfaction.
Okay, thank you. For operations, we are continuing to work with the Premier LifeWise officials. At the meeting when they came before, they were looking at coming a second time to meet the other county residents, especially on Lopez. They didn't get to go to Lopez. So they're looking at a date to come back to the county, possibly December 12th. I just got that date, but it's not firm. But they definitely will come back and continue to work with all of our county leaders to make the transition to Premier LifeWise as painless as possible. They continue to be very passionate and concerned that our residents are taken care of, and that they any problems that do come up, that they are ready to help to alleviate those. So, and Preston, the superintendent from Lopez and Orcas, has been working with them extensively too, and we still are getting the same message that they genuinely care, and we hope that, you know, it's the start of a very long relationship with them in our county. In the operations report, there are still some listings if people want to look up different Medicare Advantage things that Premier sent. Those are links in there. And then on November 15th, we had a meeting with the Inner Island Healthcare Foundation had a meeting on the long-term care portion. We are part of a district, the district that have a planning to apply for a planning grant to HRSA for $100,000. And that planning grant deadline is November 30th, but we're trying to get all the information in by the 26th, so it's in, well, on time, and if something needs to be tweaked or something, that we will definitely have it in for consideration. And late last night, I received a letter from the people at Health Facilities Planning and Development to, you have to put your letters in for the grant, and the letter that for our district for being part of the organizations that will support it, and also the district is the applicant grant, and I will be doing the financial piece of the grant. And so this is a one-page summary of what they will put with our grant application. And I know you probably did not have time to read it, since I just got it last night, and I had Nathan put it in your packets, but...
That's from COSI?
Pardon me?
COSI letter.
Yes, yes. Yes. Each organization has to submit a letter with mm-hmm. the application. So, and then it's, I did put it on district letterhead, and Michael and I will sign it if that is the wishes of the board. I have it in the Nathan's stack of papers for you guys to sign if you vote to do that.
I could make a motion for the board to adopt the letter and allow Dr. Edwards and Superintendent Hutchins to sign on behalf of the board.
Second. Any discussion?
That's this letter.
Yes, sir.
You said a letter, this letter.
No, this letter.
Yeah.
Letter. Yeah, November 15th, letter 2019. Right. No discussion? Call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Thank you. I can get that right back to him. And
thank you, Rebecca.
Okay.
Thank you, Beth. Very, very smooth.
The last thing on operations, we had a busy month. October, as everybody remembers, we had a lot of special meetings. We had the Primera people come to visit. We're working on the planning grant, and we're transitioning to with four new commissioners coming soon. Commissioner Smith, Edwards, and Appleton. This is their last regular meeting, and Commissioner Sweeney, his last regular meeting is in December. So the new members that were commissioner electees are Everett Clary and Trish Lehman and Kyle Loring. So they will be taking their oaths soon after the election certified, and will be ready to be in place for our December meeting. So we wish all of the commissioners that are leaving us well, and hope you put some of your extra time to good use and go have some fun and do some other activities. But we really have appreciated your knowledge and wisdom and leadership over these years, and we will miss that.
So is the PhD board providing a bus ticket or what?
A bus ticket? That would be gifting a couple of funds. Okay, let's see. So that's all about commissioners. And that's basically the operations for October. We have a busy schedule for December with onboarding and education for new commissioners.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions, Pam? Job well done, Pam.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is recognition of outgoing board members.
Which you just did.
No, we didn't do the formal recognition of the... That was just my operations report of the recognition.
Okay, so it was intrinsic to your report, and we all appreciate that. It's been a fun run for all of us, and I think this board has been very productive over the last few years, if not 20 years, so to the benefit of our community, so.
Pam has stuff to do.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Get that out of the box.
And more importantly, it's, you know, retrospectively, it means one thing, but looking forward, it's going to be up to the new board members now. And as I've shared with Annalisa, a couple of discussions lasting more than 4 hours, your plate is more than full. Matter of fact, you each have two plates in front of you. And it's going to be arduous, it's going to be demanding, it's going to be cost of district money, but I wish you the best of luck in doing it. I know you do a good job, so. Next on the agenda, Salmon Island.
We're not quite done yet.
You're not done.
We're not finished.
Well, maybe I'm finished.
You get off that easy.
Okay.
Let me hold on to some of these for you.
That's last. Okay. Dr. Appleton, you were stepped up and became part of the board for 2018 and 2019. And we have really appreciated your wisdom and insight and your time that you've spent. And the district thanks you for that. And we made you a certificate.
Oh, wow.
And I made sure I did it the way you wanted. And then I also put under here, in parentheses, the devil is in the detail.
It's true.
Because that was your saying in there, and yours. And then I apologize that the presents got stuck up in some pass that they didn't get delivered on time, but we got you a cross pin, and it's engraved. I put a picture of it right there. Yeah, it's coming. And it says, Warren Appleton, MDJD, SJC, PhD, number one, thanks you. So you will get that as soon as it
arrives. There you are again.
We're all right out there.
Same size as my discharge from the Army, signed by Richard Nixon, and I think I will put this up instead of that. Thank you.
And Rebecca Smith, you also joined us for 2018 and 2019 and stepped up for filling a position that somebody had retired from. And your pen is with this pen.
I hope it says something different.
Well, it does say the correct name. It says Rebecca Smith.
Okay.
SJC, PhD, number one, thanks you. But it is red.
Oh, okay.
And it's also a dual, it's a pen and a stylus. So, over on your computer.
Very
and it's
nice.
Also a cross.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Mark Sweeney, you fulfilled your whole 6-year term starting in 2014 all the way through 2019. And we want to thank you for your dedicated commitment to your full term and all the hours you worked and all of the education and proofreading documents and all of the things that you brought to the board. So the district thanks you. And your cross pen is a rollerball pen. I was informed that you like rollerball pens. I hope that's true. And it also says your name on it and SJC PhD number one. Thank you. So when it gets here, I will bring that. All right. And now, Dr. Michael Edwards has been on the board for 15 years, and his time goes back to when the PINC hospital was thought about and built, and was instrumental in a lot of meetings and planning that facility. So we thank you for all of your time and effort across the 15 years of all the things that you have been instrumental in leading the district and the new board members as they have come on board. I also made you a certificate It was hard to put yours because you've been here so long that there was a lot of things I had to put on it across the top. So, because you started as a commissioner, and then you were also the commissioner that did the financial advisory and secretary for many years, and then you moved on and were voted to be commissioner chair. So, I put all of those things on there, and you have your certificate.
So I don't see a pen in there.
There's not a pen.
Oh, okay.
There's not a pen. So, Dr. Edwards and his wife, Christine, love to put together puzzles. It's a hobby of theirs, and they put together the most elaborate puzzles. They're so hard. So I found a picture from when Lenore Bayou left and you took over the chair, and we put, thank you, Dr. Edwards, SJC, PhD number one, 15 years of service. And this is a puzzle, a 1,000 piece puzzle to put together, and it looks like this.
That's supposed
to be expert level of doing this, so.
Yay.
Wife do it upside down. She's actually better doing them upside down.
Is she Australian?
And that's historically, you know, so precious because I was under the wing of Lenore Bayou for 8.5 years. She was chair. And we went through the entire Peace Isle Medical Center project and a whole host of other things. And I think the world of that lady. And it's actually a pretty good picture of the two of us. So thanks.
Pam, you missed someone.
And Commissioner Lindstrom has been on the board 2 years, and she is staying. So she did not get a going away present until 4 more years, or maybe longer if she decides to run again.
So this is a suggestion, since we're not getting bus tickets in this now, that you kind of shortchange me as far as that cross pen. So why don't you give it to this lady here? We're going to need it a lot for the next 4 years. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you for planning this.
You did not get a cross pen because I know how particular you are with your pens, and I was not sure.
Is that the reason why?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It was.
Okay, so let's morph over to you, Chief Putzing. Sound eye on EMS.
Absolutely. Thank you, Commissioners. And I would also like to express my personal gratitude to all of you for serving and those of you who are leaving us. I certainly appreciate the relationship that we've had. And thank you very much for that. And I look forward to continuing with Commissioner Lindstrom and our new commissioners and hoping that I can continue to serve in my capacity and keep moving this organization forward. So thank you to you, to you all. Just to kind of get you up to speed on what's happened during the last month at San Juan Island EMS, I'll give you some of our department statistics. 78 calls for the month of October, 64 more for the year to date than what we were last year, which becomes basically about a 7% increase. We've been hovering anywhere between 7 to 10%. Monthly, so we're kind of on track. Our average number of responders per call, 3.7, 15 calls to Island Air, 7 to Airlift Northwest, and none to the Navy or the Coast Guard. Our average response times are within suburban benchmarks, which is 20% or 20 minutes, 94% of those calls under the 20 minute benchmark. So in town calls, 44. Average response time there was 6 minutes and 48 seconds. I'm sorry, I need to back up. Overall, our overall response time was 8 minutes and 24 seconds for all of the calls reported. In town, 44 calls with an average response of 6:48. Mid-Island, 17 calls, response time 11:39. The North End, 2 calls, response time 15:20. And then the South End, just 1 call at 10:02. no Otter Island calls for this reporting period. Our financial review, I did get a little bit of a lesson here. We were 83% into the year, and in terms of revenue and expenses, using the Eden reports that we get from the county, we get one number, but we don't necessarily factor in, and this is where Chris has helped me, our beginning cash, you know, that we started with, and our projected ending cash can be backed out of those. So the numbers that you see here presented 67% in terms of revenue. Actually, when you factor in the beginning cash and take back out our projected ending cash balances, we're actually at 87%, which is much more in line with our projections. Expenses, we end up being about 77% of what our budget projections were. GEMT has brought in another $28,000 this month, bringing our year-to-date nearly to $700,000, which is after we've amended our budget projections to 97% of that. Cash and reserves were at $1.7 million, which brings us about 8.5 months of operating expenses. So as we make adjustments into the reserve accounts and start planning on our capital expenses, I think we're in good, solid financial shape. Chris, is there anything else that we need to add?
Not really. Just kind of a reminder that usually every time October is one of those big months where we get a big infusion from the property taxes. So that's part of the reason why our revenue is so high at $587,000. So we would expect the next couple months to be a little obviously lower than that, but they're still, they usually tend to trend a little bit below what our expenditures are. But yeah, we're on solid track for meeting what our budget is in terms of revenue and for the year, and probably be under on expenses.
I also can report,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, I can report that some grant money came in, but just recently, Lainey Volk has been kind of our spearhead person. She does most of our grant writing proposals, and there were, let's see, a grant came from the Hughes Foundation, the CEDES Foundation. Two grants came in from the North Region, EMS and Trauma Council, and one from the Hillsdale Foundation, totaling almost $50,000 in grant monies. Some earmarked for injury prevention, others for one for grab bars, one for the EMT class that's currently going on Shaw Island, and also some for that were earmarked for AEDs that we have been distributing to our individual responders. So we'll be able to replace some of the older models and kind of figure out a good distribution plan for where those AEDs are going to be. So that's kind of new and exciting information for us. So things are looking good. Do you have any questions about the financials at all? All right, we'll keep moving on. In terms of the community, there were no formal CPR first aid classes scheduled for the month of October, but we did do some work with another additional four community members, and that brings our total up to 393 people educated through the month of October in our community. Also to add there, Director Volk has just done a new instructor class. So with three new volunteers from San Juan Island EMS, now becoming certified instructors for the AHA. Two still need to go through some evaluation, but one just taught a class today. So Robin De Lizarda joins that group, which is fantastic, and we look forward to working with her. Nothing to report from the paramedics union. Can also let you know in terms of operations, there's not much operational to report. I think we spend most of our time prepping for special meetings, and our state auditors are here, and they're reviewing our biannual reporting period. So we're helping to make sure that we had all the documents in order and ready to go to make that as smooth and seamless as possible. In fact, Christy Fazio is here. She's from the state auditor's office. and she's attending this meeting, and she's got space upstairs and going through, and we're trying to make sure that we answer her questions, and we move along, we look forward to the results from the audit. That's happening. The other thing that I wanted to bring you up to speed with is that we're slowly integrating the mobile data terminals that are present on each rig. We've gotten the GPS transponders that track, and we're bringing them online one at a time, getting the paramedics and the staff used to being able to that. That's going to help with our response times. It also helps with tracking. The dispatch center knows exactly where the rigs are with the AVL portion of it. Please don't ask me what AVL stands for. I'm not quite sure. But that being said, we'll have those up and running, and we're slowly integrating those into the system. The other thing that I've begun work on is looking at the health insurance that we provide for our employees and making a switch over. Right now, we're with Kaiser Permanente. They still offer group plans, but we all know that they're kind of removing themselves from the county in the individual market. We've kind of changed track and start working with a local insurance agent here to kind of give us some options, and they're busy working on that. We'd like to change over to the calendar year. Right now, we match the state fiscal year, and in terms of our coverage period, and I think that was done when we were on the accrual method, but now that we've moved over to the cash, it seems to make more sense to go with the calendar year. So we'll be looking at making that change from January. We'll talk with the membership and see what we can find and move forward with that. Fatigue assessment, nothing going on. No use of naloxone. Our 24-hour shifting is going well, but we did have our first bout of our EMTs cashing in some of the vacation time and personal time off that they've accrued, and so we've had to do a little creative problem solving trying to fill gaps. We've been using some of our volunteer EMTs to step in as per diem EMTs to cover those shifts. And I think we did all right. We did kind of get into a little bit of overtime, but that's something that we'll need to address and tweak and formalize, and we're working on that particular thing. I can report on the medical protocols, ALS protocols. Dr. Corsa is, that's his number one priority right now. He's going through taking a look at the our pharmacology and what we're gonna be carrying on the rigs, looking at streamlining that. Revising the ALS protocols. I can also report that the mobile app that was authorized by the County Trauma Council has gone live and online, and we've just offered that up to our volunteers. It's an application where the protocols are available through a smartphone or a tablet device. You can take a look, they're searchable. The nice thing is that they're also very updatable. So anytime we make revisions to the protocols, that gets pushed out through this provider, and then it gets pushed out through to the membership. It's easily tracked in terms of if an upgrade comes along, you sign off on that you've received it, that you reviewed it, and then it becomes part of the protocol. And it's downloadable on your smartphone, and it's working seamlessly as far as I can tell right now. Push that out to the volunteers just in the last week. And I heard back from a couple saying that everything's working well. So I'm excited about using that. That should be great. Our 2019 EMT class, we have three of our people left to go, but we just found out just yesterday that two of those three passed their national exam. So that's great. They're gonna be get their state license very, very shortly. That's Ryder Covington and Trevor Bolton. So they join our ranks as full-fledged EMTs, which is fantastic. We got one left, and she's scheduled to take that exam very shortly. And hopefully we'll have, right now, everyone who's taken the National Registry exam has passed on the first attempt. So that's marvelous. Last thing I've got here is, in terms of operation, is the CODAN radio upgrade. And I think I talked about it last meeting, where instead of the county's plan is to put forth a sales tax initiative to the county. It would be a 0.2% increase to the existing 911 tax on sales. It's kind of shared by not only residents but also by visitors to the island. And that would eliminate the need for individual agencies to actually put money forth to do this radio upgrade. We should, that the plan is that that will go on to the ballot in February. So we'll see if that passes. And as soon as we get verification, if that measure does pass, we should be able to secure funding and actually start moving forward on the project, which is very exciting. Staff training, pretty much the same, our two regular OTEP trainings, one of which, no, I'm sorry, that happened in November. We did our refresher for HIPAA compliance, and that happened in November. Dr. Corse has kind of moved into the supervising physician role. Both Dr. Haislip and Dr. Corse over here on our the fourth Tuesday OTEP in October, and kind of did a seamless transition for the advanced life support training, and also did run reviews with the rest of the agency, and it was well received, and looks like we've got a good fit. So we're excited to be working with Dr. Corse. Community paramedicine, I can let you know that we formally logged in 10 residential checks during the month of October. Again, that residential check is actually the house call that the provider is making. In this case, it's Director Volk, which is Izzy Ellsberg, I'd say. But she's gone out and 10 different folks, which brings our number to 37 since we started tracking in July. And again, this doesn't count for all the extra time that's put in trying to coordinate the resources to help these folks get the help that they need in our community. We have added Peggy Long to the staff as our part-time outreach administrative assistant, and she's working now helping Lainey with the backload of patients. Everything's working very, very smoothly. She seems to enjoy it here amidst the craziness. So that looks very, very good as well. We finished our reporting for the North Sound Accountable Communities of Health. So we're right on track. It looks like we've secured, you know, along that path of securing funding for the next year. I have a report that as far as EMS and fire integration, we really haven't met. The bulk of the work was working with the ILA, but we do have surveys that were put out to the membership, both for fire and for EMT volunteers. Good responses. We're working hard to make sure that we're getting their questions addressed and answered, but the overall mood that we're discerning is that everybody's pretty excited about it and on board with the integration, which is very, very encouraging. We've been working forward with the Outer Islands and trying to resolve that issue with the boundaries, the difference between the fire district and the hospital district. Some good responses have come in, petitions for those Outer Islands to join the fire district. We're moving forward collecting petitions. The plan is to open those up and take a look and see where we are in terms of numbers sometime this month. We do have a steering committee scheduled for Friday, so we'll be meeting then again. And we did meet with representatives from the Department of Health in terms of the fire moving forward with their BLS aid license. Went through that process. All very encouraging. We expect to hear from Department of Health soon. No other special reports or presentations. I do also want to let you know that GEMT continued participation in that program. The applications are due at the end of this month, and I think we're just about there. Chris is taking a look at the final numbers, and we're ready to submit for that. So I think we're right on track for that. Other than that, that's my report. I'm happy to entertain any questions you might have.
Do we do in continuing education, do we do an AED class for the staff at Roach Harbor, Snug Harbor, population concentrations?
When they request it, I mean, we do the staff at Roach Harbor, they do that pretty regularly. I think it's yearly, and we usually go to them. It's a little easier to coordinate for their staff. We teach that at the pavilion out there. As far as the residents out there, oftentimes we get requests from groups coming in. They do a lot of voter rendezvous, mm-hmm. And they quite often will ask for a class in either CPR, AED, or we tend to work on a kind of a refined maritime wilderness kind of class, talking about typical injuries somebody would see on an extended cruise and work with that. But then that usually comes at the request of the organization, but we don't have anything regularly scheduled.
Do we advertise that they can request it?
That I don't know, but I can get the answer for that. Laney's back. Do we usually advertise that, that those classes are available at Oak Harbor for like the rendezvous or?
For rendezvous and the like, the rendezvous get set up by the Roche Harbor staff, and they contact us anytime they want a space for safe, health, safety, first aid, that sort of thing. We don't particularly advertise that. And as far as Roche Harbor, they, up until 2 years ago, they had a minimum of 3 classes per year for their staff so that they could get a variety of staff in. And in the past couple of years, they've just been very busy and only had 1 class a year in the last few years.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl.
Oh, Laney, would you want more classes?
Well, having more people trained means that we'll have better outcomes when we go on calls, and maybe somebody will save me.
Okay, so the answer is yes. Okay. Got it.
Next item on the agenda is audience participation. Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Your name for the record, sir?
Many of you know me. My name is Francis Smith.
But the recording machine doesn't know you, so.
Thank you. I've been a volunteer fire captain for 17 years. And I'm on my 16th year here as a senior EMT. And I can tell you that in all those years, it's been gratifying, the public response to us. I mean, sometimes you can't buy your own cup of coffee in town if you're in a cafe. I mean, it's nice. People approach you whom, frankly, you don't recognize because they look a lot better now than when you saw them, and thanking you for helping them out. And it's a fine thing to be doing in the community. It has its cost, however. It's a stressor. This is not Island Rec or the library or the new animal shelter. This is, we do 1,200 calls a year, 800 of which, correct me if I'm wrong, Carl, are 911 calls. So these are outright emergencies that are frightened, injured people. We get the full gamut: car wrecks, gunshot wounds, cardiac strokes, environmental emergencies, and we get more than most city folks get because we get the outer islands with, you know, that thing about, tell me again what you do. It's a pretty tough job, and these people are pretty special. We've managed to maintain an excellent record. Our cardiac save rate, as I understand it, is the equal of anything that Seattle's been able to do with their very sophisticated Medic One programs. And we've managed to maintain that kind of a record in spite of organizational chaos. You know, it started with the levy 4 years ago, the difficulty there, and for those of us who are not dealing in the upper levels of the government, of the agency, we were kind of surprised at what was going on there. We've had 3 chiefs, and Carl has bravely stepped up. The difficulty is the chiefs have had to spend so much time upward directed with the board and with politics, they've not been able to do the kind of work that's necessary to supervise and to assist the EMTs. And I'm speaking primarily of the volunteers, because that's what I am, that's what I know most about. We've had 2 deeply divided boards, and we all know the story there. It's and all we hear is a lot of the invective back and forth. We now have a brand new board with folks who are not familiar with us, to my knowledge. And we've heard of a possible, some sort of arrangement with fire. You know, it's on again, off again kind of a thing, but at least it's some semblance of order. Our concern is that how do we maintain this standard of excellence, which we magically managed to maintain over the past few years. And our concern is that we're going to have continuing unsurety of where we're going, what we're doing, how we're going to be governed. And that's our concern. So my concluding statement is we need stability as rapidly as it can be achieved. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Commissioner Jarman, your name for the record.
Commissioner Bob Jarman, San Juan Fire District. San Juan Island Fire and Rescue. Got to get used to these new terms. On behalf of the San Juan Island Fire and Rescue, we want to thank the outgoing board members for their hard work, dedication, and commitment. We look forward to continuing collaboration with the new hospital district to provide our citizens the most effective and cost-efficient emergency services. Thank you again for your service. May I approach? Thank you, Mayor.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Learned a lot from you.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Again.
I'm going to shake your hand.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else?
I guess I should be glad he's not shaking my hand. It means I'm not leaving.
My hand still hurts. Okay, now we move on to unfinished business. Committee reports, I think. Only what I have is a recent CCC. Is that correct?
Yes.
Could you report on that?
I would be happy to. We met on the 8th, and Mr. Appleton gave up his seat, so incoming Commissioner Schleyman could join me at that meeting. And it was full of information as we're launching our new community health needs implementation plan. There are several initiatives that we're focusing on as a group and working collaboratively on. A lot of information. One initiative is developing family and child well-being and resiliency through several different measures, but one that's really cool is focusing on nutrition. Excuse me while I grab the hospital, the public hospital district, and the county is launching a program called Fresh Bucks. This is a photocopy of it. It will actually be like a voucher that doctors will be able to prescribe to people that they see have food insecurity or need to sort of focus more on their nutrition. These are $10 vouchers. So that's one of the initiatives. The other initiative we're focusing on is housing, affordable housing. Another is aging in place, which I know our board is excited to look at as we progress on grants and results of studies, and also expanding healthcare access. Also, Julia Vorey from the Family Resource Center presented on the CHIC work groups that they're focusing on for the years ahead, which is vulnerable populations, immunizations, the ACEs program, housing, and let's see, we've got the IIHF has a study on long-term care, as we all know, and I think that's a brief recap.
Very good.
There is a copy of the health needs assessment. I don't know, I think it might be on the website, but I can certainly get you a copy, Nathan, if you like.
Sure, we can put that up there.
We did go over the results of the study, which I think we talked about in our last meeting. So.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am. The next agenda item is a recent communique from Marianne Keene, who is the Chief Administrative Officer for Peace Island Medical Center, and this is in conjunction to Amendment 3 of the subsidy agreement between Peace Health, Peace Island Medical Center, and the PHD that goes back to 2009, I think. In any event, traditionally, this district share, as Peace Health calls it, has been under $50,000 per year. We met here recently, we meaning Annalisa, Pam Hutchins, Marianne Keene, and Chuck Prosper, who is the new regional COO for Peace Health, to discuss our, I think it's every 2 year review, isn't it, Pam? Something like that. And so we discussed the pros and cons of lowering it and raising it, and basically came to a consensus at that time that any sort of increase should be commensurate with COLA, which is 3 plus or minus percentage points a year. So this letter dated November 12th from Mary Ann Keene, again, the Chief Administrative Officer of Peace Island Medical Center, suggests that they contribute $55,000 a year. That's $5,000 more per year on a yearly basis for a 5-year term. So I think that's very fair. I mean, this district share was sort of came out of the blue many years ago, and it's been a godsend for Planned Parenthood and Salmon Island Prevention Coalition and Salmon Island Community Paramedicine. So that will continue on. So I the proffer motion that the board accept this $55,000 a year per annum offer on the part of Peace Island Medical Center. Was it a tie for a second?
She gets it.
Okay, she gets it. And open to discussion. Any discussion?
Could we draft a letter of appreciation, a thank you to PIMC, Marianne, and Chuck Prosper?
Yes.
Yeah, there are actually two components to that. One is a letter of appreciation, I absolutely agree.
And we.
But an authorization of PAN to submit a letter on behalf of the board as soon as this motion passes. So.
Just for the audience's information, if we carry to 3% COLA through the 5 years, we're going to have to $8,250. But with this over 5 years, it's an increase of $25,000. So I think that's a fair offer on their part, and more than fair. And
thanks for doing the math. Any other comments? Call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, board, very much. New business, we'll start with Pam, starting with resolution 19-513. And we'll take each of these resolutions and lastly the 2020 tax levy certification separately. I think that's the most understandable way to do it. Do you agree, Pam? Okay, lead the charge, please.
Okay. The first resolution is 19-513, and this is San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1's resolution to adopt the 2020 budget. At the general fund budget amount is $2,044,520. The budget was presented back in September, a draft, and then it was had the budget hearing on October 23rd. And the only changes from September to October was at the last regular meeting, y'all asked to put the 6% place mark in the mine and Nathan's wages rather than 2%. I did that, and that's the budget that is on the district website at this point. So that is the only change. Do you have any questions about the budget itself?
I don't. No. Lisa?
Nope.
Dr. Train? Dr. Apples?
I asked my questions earlier,
okay.
And you answered
That's
everything.
Fine. Okay, great.
Move to approve resolution 19-513.
Second. You guys are always back and forth. You got to win next time. Okay. Discussion? Any discussion on the budget?
No.
In the absence of discussion, call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Okay, Pam.
Okay, the next resolution is resolution 19-514, and this is also the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1's setting of the increase for the property tax levy amount. It for 2020, it lists the previous year's levy amount was $1,326,656.67. And we are less than 10,000 people in our our hospital district county, and it, we can only go up 1%. We're a permanent levy, so we can only go up 1% over the year before. The 1% increase is $13,266.57. And this is what gets turned into the assessor's office and also to the county auditor's office as well when they turn in all of these. And this is something that is mandated by Washington State Revenue, and this is our numbers for 2020.
Move to accept resolution 19-514.
Second. I had to beat both of you, yeah. So I did. Any discussion? Yeah, after the discussion, call for a vote. I'll say in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
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 Resolution 19-514 passes unanimously. And I think one more consideration under your wing, Pam.
There is the last documentation is the levy certification. And this is something also mandated that the district has to turn in to the assessor and the auditor's offices. And it lists our district and that it's decreed by the commissioners for 2020. And we're adopting it at this hearing, 11-2019. It lists the regular levy amount that the assessor's office gives us to do is $1,362,000. And this also is estimated higher because you, if the money comes in higher and you don't set your levy on this form higher, the highest, then you won't get the extra money that comes in. So that's why the number is higher than on our budget or on our other resolutions. And this year they're estimating a $1,800 refund levy. And those are the figures for the levy certification this year.
I'll move that we accept the tax levy certification.
Very good. Discussion? In the absence of discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
And Chief Kutzing, I think you're on deck now, sir.
Absolutely. Our resolutions basically mirror those of the hospital district. Our resolution 19-515 is to adopt the 2020 EMS budget. No changes to that or to what was presented at the regular meeting and at the budget hearing that was held on October 23rd. The 2020 general fund budget was presented to be $4,338,351. And it needs your approval.
I'll move to approve resolution 19-515.
Second. Any discussion? In the absence of discussion, call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you, Board.
I did have one question. There was a little arrow that pointed up, and I couldn't figure out where it pointed. In the budget, on the
spreadsheet.
Yeah.
It was a calculation.
That's a calculation for what the levies.
And then where it carries over into the next month.
A calculation, basically a reconciliation of what our prior levy amount is, what our increase is, the new construction, all that. And then because our tax levy is just a one line item number.
Got it.
So basically it's just the calculation. It's the support for that calculation.
That's what I thought, but I just.
Okay. Next considerations, resolution 19-516.
Well, again, this mirrors what's going on with the hospital district levy. This is to set the annual, the actual levy from the previous year and to authorize the 1% increase that is authorized by law. where our actual levies were $1,514,833.43, being under 10,000, and we're asking for the increase of 1%, which brings the increase to $15,141.02. And again, we need your approval for that levy increase.
I'd like to proffer adoption of resolution number 19-516 by the board. Do we hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, sir. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 19-516 passes unanimously. And next.
Last order, piece of business is the tax levy certification. As with the Public Hospital District, this information comes from the assessor's office. I supplied in your package just the supporting letter that we received from them that kind of shows where the numbers come from. It's asking for the regular levy to come in at $1,555,000. Nothing proposed for the excess levy and a refund levy of $16,000.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. $1,600. Oh, yeah, pardon me. Thank you. I misspoke. $1,600.
Then the board hear a motion to adopt the levy certification for Salmon Island EMS.
I move to adopt the levy certification for Salmon Island
EMS. Thank you,
ma'am.
Second. Very good. Give that to Rebecca. She needs a win.
Yeah.
Any discussion? If you have some discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any comments or questions?
For the audience, early on when we talked about the letter, Mr. Fredman, have we heard back, and just for the audience that might be interested, when it would be public? Have you heard anything?
I have the letter. I can post it tomorrow. Is that soon enough, sir?
That was my question.
Yeah. Okay. Because I can do it tonight if it's urgent.
Because it was either today or tomorrow.
I'd like to get it to the auditor if you want to get
sure.
It.
Sure.
So that has been reviewed by counsel. Is that true then, Nathan, in the last hour or so?
You know, I did email him after you guys passed the motion. I haven't heard back, but based on what he said and
yeah, he would have it done.
We know that we anticipate doing that today, so.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
Usually our meetings go until 5:30 and they haven't done by the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
Today was so quick.
Well, by design, we set a record today. We accommodated a one-hour executive session and a one-hour regular scheduled meeting. Total time of 2 hours. Congratulations, and the meeting is adjourned.
And can you keep this posted on the group and likewise, but it's a good meeting. They're thinking about the 12th, right? Or the 2nd?
Yeah, the 12th.